Yeah, it's not supposed to come on right yet. Okay, today is November the 17th.
My sister's birthday.
Oh, it is?
Mm-hmm. Lee's birthday.
Oh. Okay, well, happy birthday to
Lee.
Okay. I want to remind you for this Sunday that you might want to tell some folks to get in on the beginning of a series that probably will last quite a while, and it's a little different. It's not exegeting verse by verse, and it's not just topical. You just have to be here to see it, and I think you're going to like it. Anyway, and let's see, what was my other? Oh, I was going to tell you that we need to keep praying for CEF. They're doing a marvelous job. When we were back there reading the prayer request of the children, they're children, but they have issues. I mean, they have uncles that were dying and parents that are sick and people having surgery. Of course, they pray for their dog. And their dog to them is big time issue. And it's so great that they are learning now at a young age to go to the Lord with their problems and their trials and tribulations. They're writing them down now, but that is so important because they'll get in the habit of doing that. And they're going to have a great head start in life by the training that they're getting there. And we just thank our volunteers for doing it. And they need to have that prayer support as well. Let's prepare ourselves in our usual fashion. We'll have a few moments of silent prayer. The option, excuse me, of rebound if necessary. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We celebrated it for 3 days, but we're going to be celebrating it for all eternity. We just thank you for who and what you are, that you love us, that you provide for us. The more we learn, the more we love you, because the more we know about you. So we pray that you will help us to focus, have an open mind as we study your word this evening. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, everything seems to be working tonight. Remember, Tuesday night, we were down to Cindy's computer, and oh, I know it was. Did we even have? We didn't have a PowerPoint, did we? Yeah. Okay. But tonight is a different story, and we're going to go to where we were going to go Tuesday, and I don't know if you like it or not, but here we go. What are the seven ministries of the Holy Spirit? This isn't just an exercise of memorizing what they are. I mean, I hope that you know what they are, but more importantly, I want you to be familiar with them, that you will incorporate them into your spiritual dynamics that you have in your own life, but also be able to tell someone else who is uninitiated, they don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. Ministry of the Holy Spirit is a question mark in their mind, and that you'll be able to explain to a person like that what the ministries of the Holy Spirit happen to be in your own words. But first, let me caution you, if you meet someone on the street, or wherever it may be, and you're not sure they're a believer, before you launch into the seven ministries of the Holy Spirit, it'd be a good idea to find out if they're a believer or not. And you ought to be able to tell me why that's important by now. Because if they're an unbeliever, they're spiritually dead, they can't understand spiritual phenomena, so you might as well be speaking in Chinese to them. So first find out if they're a believer. If they are, then don't just launch into it by preaching to them. Ask them a few questions. Do you know what the ministries of the Holy Spirit is? Do you know what any of them are? Are you familiar with the Holy Spirit? Just ask them, make it a conversation. What we don't want to do is have people tune out because we're preaching to them. They may be grinning and nodding their head, but they're thinking, I wish I wasn't here. And so if you ask them questions and it's just a conversation, they'll probably enjoy it. They'll remember it. And you're going to have a lot of good things come from it. So, the first one is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And you have some verses there. This one is a little difficult because it's hard for a person who has had no spiritual training to understand what indwelling is. We say, well, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Well, how do we know that? Well, we know it because the Bible tells us that that's the case. And we don't feel it. When you're born again is when this happens. And even then you don't feel it. But you can tell from time to time the benefits of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus Christ said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Now, certainly the Holy Spirit can say that because He's in us. Can you tell me a benefit, even just one benefit, of having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? I mean, we have the other ministries. I'm not talking about another ministry. I can tell. I'm going to tell you because I see a lot of question marks on your face. One of the benefits of being indwelt with the Holy Spirit is that we cannot be indwelt by a demon, by a fallen angel. The Holy Spirit is not going to share your body with a demon. Now, there are people who are believers that you may suspect are demon-possessed, maybe several. They may act like they are, but I can assure you they are not. This is a surety here that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. One manifestation of this that we know this happens at salvation is because nowhere in the Scriptures are we commanded to be filled with to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Because it happens automatically. In the Old Testament, there were believers who had the endowment of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would empower certain people to be able to accomplish certain things in the Old Testament, but it was temporary. David prayed one time to God that He would not take His Spirit from him. Well, we don't have to pray that because He indwells us. That's rightly dividing the word of truth and understanding part of the dispensations. The next one is He baptizes us. When you say that word, a lot of people jump to conclusions. And this is the one that matters right here. And that is a spiritual baptism. It is a dry baptism. It has nothing whatsoever to do with water baptism. In water baptism is symbolic. But in a what we would call a real baptism, something happens. God accomplishes it, and it doesn't have anything to do with water. In this case, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit, at the point of salvation again, identifies us permanently with Jesus Christ. And that identification is called baptizo in the Greek, and it's talking, what is baptizo in the Greek and transliterated into the English as baptize? It means to be identified with. Every time in your Bible you see the words in Christ, you automatically you should think, okay, well, that's referring to a believer. How does a believer get into Christ? Why are we said to be in Christ? Well, because of this is a mechanic. This is something that actually happens when you believe in Jesus Christ, where The Holy Spirit accomplishes this. You are identified forever, permanently with Jesus Christ. What a phenomenal thing that we can be identified with the Creator of the universe, God's own Son. Now, you see up here, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. I got a little asterisk by it. This is one thing you can do, because when you talk to people, a lot of times they will never have even heard of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They have no idea what it is, didn't even ever know that it existed until you mentioned it to them. All they know about is water baptism. They know zilch about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, it says, there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One baptism. Now, actually, there's seven, but in the context, what this is saying is that there is one baptism that is elevated above all the others. There is one baptism that counts. I'm not saying any of the other ones don't, but this one is the one that is imperative that we have, because if you're not baptized with the Holy Spirit, then you're not a believer. Because it happens to every person who believes in Jesus Christ in the church age, and in the church age only. It doesn't happen in any other dispensation. So if you might ask a person that is only familiar with water baptism, you may say that there is a spirit baptism called the baptism of the Holy Spirit that is accomplished at the point of salvation. God, the Holy Spirit, accomplishes it by identifying us permanently with Jesus Christ. Where might you go to back that up with Scripture, by the way? Oh, yeah, blank faces. Okay. Well, okay, I have them up there. That's why the blank faces. 1 Corinthians 12:13 would be the first one I would go to. But once they start thinking in line of a spirit baptism, you need to say, okay, you know about water baptism, now you know about spirit baptism. It's a real identification that takes place when you believe the gospel. Which one do you think is referenced in Ephesians 4 or 5 when it says one Lord, one faith, and one baptism? Do you think it's referring to being dunked in water? Or do you think it's what God accomplished at the moment of salvation, whereby you are permanently identified with Jesus Christ forever? It means you're in Christ. Now, I have a good friend, most of y'all know Greg from Arkansas, and he said that very thing to a person, and he said, knowing that, which one would you say that Ephesians 4 or 5 is referring to? And he said, water baptism. There are some people that just, they either don't get it or they don't want to get it. But in any case, I'm trying to give you some parameters here, some facts about each one of these, so it will be meaningful to you. Not that you can just name seven of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, but how you can use them in your own life and even explain it to other people. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is the apparatus the same with Old Testament believers in receiving the human spirit as church age believers?
Yes. The Old Testament believers had a human spirit as well. Believers did.
So, as soon as they understood the ritual, then they became believers?
No. The rituals were physical representations of what the spiritual life is about. But in their case, it was about the Mosaic law was pointing to Christ and everything that it did.
So they had to be witnessed to
also. Oh, yeah, sure. They had to be witnessed to. But what happened was, over time, rather than taking the Mosaic law and you have three codices, and they were reaching in every area of life. But rather than recognizing that no person is able to fulfill the law, only one was, and that was Jesus Christ. And actually, all the Mosaic law was pointing to them, you need a Savior. But the Pharisees turned around and made it a works-based system in order to acquire salvation apart from Christ. And that's what they were battling so much. That's why Paul had so much trouble. Is because by the time Paul came along, the Mosaic law became extreme legalism. And they thought that the more you kept the law, the more you would... some people thought you would go into the kingdom by simply virtue that you're a Jew. Others thought, well, not only am I a Jew, but look at how well I keep the Mosaic law. And Paul had to go in and just rip that all to shreds and explain that nothing that you can do is going to even get you. In fact, the more you work in order to acquire salvation, the farther away from it you get.
I'm just realizing more and more that there weren't very many people that found grace in the eyes of the Lord in the Old Testament.
Well, there's not many today.
I know, yeah.
Barbara is saying that there wasn't that many people in the Old Testament that actually were saved, and fewer even than that got with the program. But it was so much different then, because they had so many rituals. Most people couldn't read anyway, and they didn't have writing, paper, materials and all. So they were learning through all these rituals. But it could very easily get to where people thought, I'm good to go because I'm there for the rituals, and so that's a mark. Give me credit for that, and they start getting more credit. So Paul had to explain all that. But there were people in the Old Testament that were indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but they didn't have the filling of the Holy Spirit like we have in the church age. When we have the completed canon of Scripture, and we can connect all the dots as far as spirituality is concerned in our life. They didn't have all that information. All they had were rituals, and revelation progressed as time goes by. I mean, there were thousands, hundreds of thousands of people in the Old Testament that were saved, but they didn't have a clue who Jesus Christ was. But they believed the revelation that God had given them at that time. Yes, Pete?
Now, Rahab the harlot is a good example of that. Because she had heard of the great God who delivered the Israelites from the Red Sea.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't have to have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's the revelation she had. And she becomes one of the great in the line of Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, and... I don't know why, but I can speculate why. How would you like to have your name in the Bible, and every time someone mentions your name, they say the harlot? Hardly anybody says Rahab. They say Rahab the harlot, because the Bible classifies her that way. Yeah, and she's in the line of Christ. So she was positive to the amount of revelation that she had at that time. What?
The fact that the ability to, for the way it was, you know, people's ability to whether it be read or the different
I think that probably, she asked me about the age of accountability, how it was in the Old Testament. I think that probably the age of accountability was younger back in the Old Testament days, because the children were much more mature. As they grew up, I mean, a boy of about 12 years old was about ready to go out on his own to be a man. And they didn't have iPods and cell phones and everything else in the world to distract them. They had the reality of surviving and living in a culture that expected them to carry their load, to carry their weight.
Everyone that left Egypt into the desert was saved.
Well, that's, you're bringing up another question here.
Well,
there's different ideas on that, but I better move on. I'll tell you about it later. Okay, the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit. He seals us. And I'm not going to give you the verses. They're already up there on the screen. I guess I ought to give them for the people who are going to get this audio. These are the verses for indwelling of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19, 1 Corinthians 12:13, Romans 8, 9 through 11, Romans 6, 19, and John 4, 16 through 17. Verses for the baptism of the Holy Spirit is Acts 1, 5, Romans 6, 3, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, Ephesians 4, 5, and Galatians 3, 26 through 28. Now we're on the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we have 2 Corinthians 1, 21 through 22, Ephesians 1, 13 through 14, Ephesians 4, 30, and 2 Timothy 2, 19. Now, what is the sealing of the Holy Spirit all about? Well, if you just think about what a seal means, I'm not talking about the one that is in the water and has flappers. I'm talking about the kind that they used to put on a letter. In the old days, if they wanted to send a letter and they didn't want anybody to read it, they would take some wax, melt it, drip it on there, and then put a seal on it. And you couldn't open that document without breaking the seal. And so what was the seal doing? It was a guarantee. It was security. When Christ was crucified, they did everything they could to make sure that he wouldn't get out of that tomb. Because if he got out of the tomb, they had a problem. Well, and so what did they do to the big stone? They rolled the big stone across it, but what did they do? What else did they do? They sealed it. They poured wax all on the top. So if someone said that he didn't leave the tomb, but the seal was broke, then they would know they'd be lying. They would be lying. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a guarantee. It's a security blanket for us to understand that we were sealed. When were we sealed in time? Is when we believed in the gospel. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. He is our guarantee. He is our security. And that's what the sealing is about. Number four. Number four, he gives spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. 1 Corinthians 12, 28. And Hebrews 2, 4. Now I got good news for you. Every one of you has at least one spiritual gift. Some people say, I don't know what it is. Well, you don't necessarily have to know what it is for it to function. But for your spiritual gift to function properly, you must have something, and that's something we hadn't got to yet. It might be the next one, and that is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Your spiritual gift does not work when you are in carnality. So, you have a spiritual gift. Mine happens to be one that is visible. Mine is the kind that that people think, oh, well, I wish I had the spiritual gift of pastor teacher. I said, oh, really? It is a great honor. And we don't deserve our spiritual gifts. And we don't choose them either. I would have never chosen a spiritual gift of pastor teacher. And I would have a hearty amen from everybody that knew me, probably from the time I was born until now. I have people all the time. What do? Well, I'm a pastor. Well, you don't look like a pastor. I'm sorry. I don't know what a pastor is supposed to look like. You don't walk or talk or act like a pastor. Well, I didn't get the memo on all these ways that I'm supposed to be. I'm just who I am. There are some pastors that will not go out in public without at least a coat on and sometimes even a tie. I'll go out in Bermuda shorts and flip-flops and a T-shirt with the sleeves out, and a ball cap. That doesn't make me any less than a pastor. But anyway, I digress. You all have a spiritual gift. And one spiritual gift, and it came out so huge in our 25th anniversary celebration, is the gift of helps. That is one that most of the time, if you try to rate them, and there is no rating to it, I hope you understand that. Even if you're a communicator of the word, whether you're a missionary or an evangelist or a pastor, that doesn't mean that your gift is way up here and yours is down here. The gift of helps is right up here. with on a par with the pastor. Because the church cannot operate apart from believers who have the spiritual gift of helps and are using it. The next one is fills us. We are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We spend a lot of time on this. Ephesians 5:18. Do not be drunk with wine, for that is consumption, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Present, passive, imperative. We are commanded to receive the filling of the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't until I went to Baraka Church and heard Colonel R.B. Thing, Jr. connect the dots and say the way to be filled is to go to, for at least one verse, is 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when we do that, boom, we're right back filled with the Holy Spirit. We have obeyed the command. And what it takes is not only knowledge, but more importantly, I don't know if I can say more importantly than knowledge, but what's so important is it takes humility. You have to acknowledge to God, yes, I'm a sinner. I sinned. This is what I did. And instantly, boom, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's when it's like having a computer and it's ready to go. It has all the potential. But until you plug it into the power source, it's not going to do anything. And that's the way we are. We have the potential. We may have the knowledge. We may have all these things. But if we're going to try to do it in our own flesh, we're going to fail. But when we acknowledge our sins, our known sins, then God the Father forgives us for all our sins, and even the ones that we didn't know about or forgot or whatever, and we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now we have the power source. Now we can be effective. Number six is He teaches us. John 14:26. John 16:12-14, and 1 Corinthians 2:12-13. Right now, I'm teaching you, and what I'm giving you is spiritual information. If you are an unbeliever, you either wouldn't be interested or you couldn't understand it because you don't have a human spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that activates our human spirit and makes spiritual phenomenon, we call it Bible doctrine, clear, lucid, and perspicuous to us. It goes into our nous, that is our mind. Goes into our nous, and we have gnosis information. Remember, these are technical words that the Bible uses. You can understand it. You can either reject it or accept it. If you are not interested in what I'm teaching, you won't remember it. If you reject what I'm teaching, it won't go into long-term memory. But if you hear this spiritual phenomenon that I'm communicating to you, you're interested in it, you want it, and you believe it, then God automatically transfers it into your cardia, the dominant portion of your soul, and it becomes who you are, for it is stored in your brain biologically, and the Holy Spirit can draw that out whenever you need it in order to apply what I'm teaching to your situation. All that happens, boom, goes on all the time. We're not even aware of it. But aren't you appreciative to God and His plan that we don't have to keep up with any of that? The only thing that we are really adding to the mix is positive volition. That's all that God needs to make the whole shoot match work. Because He's the one that does it. And then number seven is He intercedes for us. That's in Romans 8:26, Ephesians 6:18, and Jude 1:20. We have the Satan, and is the one that tries to condemn us all the time, but it never goes anywhere because the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. In fact, when we pray, he can intercede in the sense that he can utter things to God the Father. The Bible calls it groanings in which we can't even understand. Do you ever recognize when you're talking to someone, but especially to God, the words get in the way? You have a desire and you're trying to communicate, but sometimes you just can't put it together the way you would like to, but it doesn't matter because the Holy Spirit picks up the slack in His intercessory ministry. I was listening to Charlie Clough this morning. I was on a walk and I had the earphones on. And he says, one of the things that's so neat about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is that when He makes intercession for you, it's like a secure line going to God. That it's so personal and so secure that He has to be inside of you for it to work. And that's part of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He said, when you're in the military and you're going to make communications, that they have what's called a safe line or a safe code. And he said, that's what happens when the Holy Spirit is intercessory. He's helping you. And when we give thanks for something that God has protected us from, maybe in that day, God had protected us from 45 different things. But we don't see all the things that God is protecting us from. But when we acknowledge that one thing that we do know that He protected us from, the Holy Spirit is communicating all the other things that we don't even know that He is protecting us from. So that is a phenomenal ministry that he has. So don't fret when you get all tied up, tongue-tied or whatever else, when you're praying to God. Have you ever just said, well, I don't know how to say it, but I know that you know. And one reason we can say that with assurance is because the Holy Spirit takes up the slack. Amen. We're supposed to pray all the time. I mean, repeatedly, as a routine. And sometimes I think, I must have the most boring prayers in the world. And I've said the same prayer, because we have ongoing issues, 100 times. And I think about, well, how can I say it differently? I've said it 1,000 times. And can I be creative in so God won't be so bored? Well, He's not bored. He doesn't care how you articulate it. We're fumbling, bumbling, trying to express ourselves to Him. And the Holy Spirit comes. If the Holy Spirit, He said, look, don't worry about it. I got you covered. It's that desire. See, when you make that initial connection by saying, Heavenly Father, when you go to that, the whole thing goes into work. The Holy Spirit and His intercessory work on our behalf. The Father is listening, and we're over here struggling. We think, boy, that was a lousy prayer. I mean, it just, all I said was the same thing I always say. So-and-so is sick. Will you help them to be well? And we think, well, that was crummy. God doesn't see it that way. We are obedient, see? We're faithful in going to Him. But what did we learn last time about prayer? First of all, we had to ask with faith. Faith that He's going to do it. Because if you ask the Lord to do such and such, and you're not really thinking that He's going to do it, He probably won't. And I have to admit, probably a lot of us in this election, the day before we were going to be voting, the media said He had 1.7 chance of winning. I would say that it was difficult to have that faith. But we must have had enough faith, because He sure came through. That reminds me of what I'm going to do next. Yes.
What about where Christ is going to lead? And He said that when He, the Comforter, come, He will lead you into all truth. That will be the teaching that... The word comforter, is that is that something else He does? Or just
no, that is a title for the Holy Spirit. It's the paraclete.
Okay, the paraclete, yeah.
Yeah. In fact, it's the comforter. Mm-hmm. the Comforter will come, and that's referring to the Holy Spirit. Now, it is... excuse me just a minute, I got to concentrate here. Well, what I was going to do, but I think I'll put it off because I'm not that familiar with this system here. I was going to go to IQ Rizzulli's. Remember I told you, I paraphrased what it was last time. I was actually going to read it to you. But here I am again, not ready to do it with the technology I have right now. But I'm just going to press on with where we're going next right now. And this is what we went over last night. Y'all didn't see it, but I wanted you to see it before we pressed on. Because, can y'all see that all right back there? I can make it a little bigger. Let's see. Uh-oh. I think I can make it bigger. Oh, I know what I got to do. Excuse me. I got to touch the screen to do this. There you go. Ooh, a little bit too big. How about that? Okay. This is what we were going over last night. Colossians 1, 9 through 12. I spent probably half the time nearly on these verses. And I wanted you to see them. And if you made notes in your Bible, you can see if it jives with what we have here. We're going to press on, but I just want to go over it one time here. This is Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 12. For this reason also, and the reason was that the Colossians were doing good, but Paul wanted to make sure they were going to continue to do good. So he says, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, of how they are progressing, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with knowledge. First of all, you see in the red, may be filled. Anytime, most of the time in the English, when it says something may happen, it's in a subjunctive mood, which means it's only potential. It's maybe you will, maybe it'll happen, and maybe it won't. And this is in the passive voice, just like the command to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This case, it's that you may be filled, you may receive this knowledge, which is epinosis knowledge, as you see there. And it's the active voice. So we have that you may be filled with the knowledge. Epinosis knowledge is full knowledge. Here we are right here. Be filled with the knowledge, epinosis knowledge of His will in all spiritual. Remember the pneumatikos? That's spiritual information that has already been processed through your human spirit. And now it's going to the nous. Now it's going to the mind where you are able to understand it. Remember Operation Z? Can y'all see that in your mind? So, filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom is Sophia, and understanding Sunesis, which is intelligence. But this just isn't regular wisdom, intelligence. It has to do with the spiritual. So that you, now see, this is, now we get in, so that you will walk. It's an infinitive, an aorist active. And what I said, this up here is, you receive it. You don't work for it. This is in the passive voice. Here, it's in the active voice. Now that you have the knowledge, now that you have the wisdom, God expects you to do something with it. And so now you have, so that you will walk, not may walk, that you will walk, aorist active, that is an infinitive, in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit. This is a present active participle. So here you get qualified, you get the knowledge, you get everything you need, but you just don't go around and brag to everybody, come to my house and I'll show you all the reams of paper and notebooks and everything I have of I've been studying the Bible for 20 years and I've got all this notation. Oh, well, big deal. That doesn't mean a thing. It's up here and actually doing, active voice. So bearing fruit in every good work and increasing In knowledge. See, now we're going back to knowledge again, and the knowledge is in the present passive, because we don't work to get knowledge, because we just looked at one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is the teaching ministry. We don't have to do anything to understand Bible doctrine apart from having a desire for it. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit so that He can teach us and we have a desire, we're wanting to learn, it's going to happen. And you're going to have that wisdom and that spiritual intelligence. Then we are to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. And now it says, increasing in knowledge. But the increasing goes back to the passive voice, because the Holy Spirit is doing the teaching. We're just doing the receiving. We can't do this on our own. It's coming back. Oh, I didn't want you to see that. Don't remember it. Okay, strengthened. Here we are. Increasing in knowledge of God. Strengthened is a present passive, because when we have the knowledge, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Then what does that do? It gives us strength. It doesn't give us strength here. It gives us strength here. Then we have confidence and we have courage, because we have knowledge. We have information we didn't have before. And now we're depending on the Lord. And we receive that strength. The word here is dynamo, is the Greek, comes from dunamos. Here, the U turns into a Y in the English. It would be dynamo. It's also where we get dynamite. With all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. How many of you need steadfastness and patience? How many of you own computers? That's the patience part. Steadfastness, joyously giving thanks. Now we're into something that we do as this is an active voice. A present active. We are to keep on giving thanks. The only reason we have been strengthened with all power and we have steadfastness and patience is because we took care of this up here. Now, as a result, we give thanks. And that word is eucharisteo, which is where we get the word Eucharist, which means to give thanks. So giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Now, this is who has qualified us. This is aorist active, but it's God who is producing the action. You understand that? Has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Do you want to inherit heaven, or do you want to inhabit heaven? Do you want to have phenomenal rights and privileges and opportunities that most believers will not have in heaven? You can secure that now. And one way you can do it is just following what we have right up here. And you will walk. You will have inheriting rights. You will be able to go places and do things that others can't, because you will be an inheritor. You will be a metakoi, overcomer. You will have Nike rewards. Nike is victorious, victory. All these things are yours, and you walk with the saints in light. Now, we saw in our last Bible class, this is what I'm reading right here, most believers act as if they have never seen or heard of these passages. You go to the average church, and what I just gave you, you know what would happen? They'd either go to sleep or they'd walk out, because they have no frame of reference. They don't know what any of this is. And yet this is what life is all about, right there. What are you if you're not strengthened, if you're not steadfast, and you don't have patience, and you're worrying and fretting about everything because your spiritual life is in the toilet? And that's where most believers' spiritual life is. Now, they have everything they need. They have a human spirit. They're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. They're sealed by the Holy Spirit. They've been baptized by the Holy Spirit. They can understand the whole realm of doctrine, but they're not interested. They're going through life thinking it's about the details, And this life is a spiritual life. It's all about your relationship with Jesus Christ. And are you going to take hold of these spiritual dynamics and experience the power that the Holy Spirit can give you in order to obey the commands that we cannot apart from that? Already they're saying on TV, this is going to be one hell of a Thanksgiving after this election. Because people are going to be gathering around the kitchen table all over the country, and there are going to be liberals and conservatives and everything else in between, and it's going to be a knockdown, drag-out, bloodletting Thanksgiving for a lot of people. Why? They don't have a clue about this. They don't give thanks in all things. They hate their, not only their neighbor, they hate their own family. I mean, I would hate to be the police on Thanksgiving Day. Because there's going to be a lot of domestic calls. See, I'm not just talking about ethereal, oh, this is nice, but we don't really need this. This is exactly what you need, and nobody's hearing it. But God has revealed it. And when you start putting this together, you start relying on the Holy Spirit. And it's easy. Why we call it rebound. Why do we acknowledge our sins before each time we study God's Word? Because if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you can't understand it. You're just out. But when you acknowledge your sin, then you're in the category of spirituality. And you can learn these things because of the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's not because you're so bright. And you know what? If you don't have times to where you learn things and you're so excited you can't wait to tell somebody about what you're learning about the Bible, then you're not paying attention or your spiritual life is not what it should be. Something's not right. Because I get excited about things like the Bible all the time, what I'm learning. Okay, time for you to come on.
Well, it's kind of like what you said before, things that you learned in the past that all of a sudden you remember, like when Mother used to make us listen to things when I was a kid, and all of a sudden something comes up and it's like, oh, heavens, I thought I was sleeping when I was 12 listening to that.
And it came out?
And it comes up and you remember it, and it's like, holy cow.
Let me tell you why. She's saying her mama used to make her go to church. Her mama's sitting right behind her, by the way.
Well, listen to tapes,
and you think, well, time goes by, and you forget about all that. But, as I said earlier, every time that you hear, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you're hearing doctrine taught, it is going into your brain. I mean, there is physically space, neurons in your brain, that this information is stored, and there's electricity going in there as well. And when you have a desire, when you're trying to think of a word or think of a doctrine or something, boom, the Holy Spirit brings it out, and there you go. You have it, see? And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that my parents, when I was a boy, took me to church. I learned, if nothing else, patience. I didn't learn much. Okay. Oh, you weren't supposed to see this. What I was going to ask you is, most people act as if they've never seen this, don't know anything about it. Why is that? It's because they are not using the D4 method. Now, I didn't come up with this. Our brother in the Lord, Kyle, in prison, and he's teaching Bible class. Listen, he's doing more than most pastors in 1,000 years will do. And he came up with this, and he tells his people, he says, all right now, did you D4 today? It's like WD-40. No, but this is D4. Did you D4 today? And this is what he's talking about. What they are missing is D4, and here is D4 right here. Daily diligent digesting of doctrine. D4. The problem with Christians is that they don't D4. Daily, diligent digestion of doctrine. If you do that, you're going to be amazed. But you know what the problem is? there's no digestion of doctrine or very little because the people aren't diligent and they certainly aren't daily. When you got up in the morning, this morning, did you think, well, I guess I'm going to eat today? Did you constantly say, I guess I better remind myself to eat? Did you do that? You just automatically had a meal. Maybe two, maybe three, maybe four. I don't know how many you had, but I bet you had a meal. And nobody had to tell you to do that, and you weren't going to forget it. Why is that? Well, you can say you were hungry, but I bet you a part of it is because it's a habit. People asked me when I had this log home over here, they said, were you only in sales? I said, I was until the bottom fell out of the oil industry and the economy just plummeted. And I said, then I was no longer in sales. I went out and actually started not only selling them, but building them as well. Well, why did you do that? I said, because I got a habit of eating. I like to eat. That's why I did it. Now, it should be the same way for our spiritual intake of this D4. We shouldn't have to think, oh, I forgot about D4. Because once you get in a routine of it, this is what you're going to find. And I'm saying from experience here. If you're not D4ing now, then if you start to try to D4, you're going to say, now wait a minute. Here's the difference in what you're trying to tell us here. I won't forget to eat because I have hunger pains. I have a desire to eat because my stomach is saying it's time to eat. But here's what I'm telling you. When you first start out in D4, you have to kind of remind yourself until you get into a routine. Once you start doing it. And then once you start doing it, you know what you're going to find? You're going to have hunger pains for the Word. And sometimes they will be even more of a desire than what you have for just having a meal. In fact, there'll be times maybe where you will skip a meal because you'd rather have the spiritual food. Now, what I'm telling you is that doesn't come automatically. That doesn't come the first time you have a meal. But you know what happens when you skip Bible class or you, as the Baptist would say, you backslide? If you've been backsliding and you come to Bible class, you're going to find where it's not that easy because you don't have that momentum going. You're starting it from scratch, and it's hard to get read into the picture sometimes, and you don't have that spiritual hunger.
Amen.
But but after a time, if you just stick in there for a little while, that hunger develops. And you get to where that is the highlight of your day. When I went to Baraka Church in Houston, Texas, they met 6 times a week. The only day they didn't meet was Saturday, and even then they showed movies at the church. But they twice on Sunday. So essentially, every day of the week, the number of times that they would go to church was 7 days a week. And people would say, oh! They get nauseated thinking about it. That would be torture. And you know what? Does anybody know how many chairs there are in Baraka? What, 1,000 maybe?
Probably in the auditorium.
Yeah, in the auditorium, 1,000? Is it? What, 1,500? 1,800. Okay, 1,800 chairs in Baraka. And when I was going there in the late 70s, during the week, mind you, you had to be there maybe a little early to even get a seat. I mean, you would get, and some people, if you didn't get there by the time it started, they were looking out for seats in the back or something. And you would say, what? 1,800 people every night going to get doctrine? These people understood D4. Digitally digesting, what is it? Daily diligently digesting doctrine. And it was the highlight of our day. Now, what's happened since then? What's happened to nearly all the churches since then? that's one way you can tell this country's in trouble. Not so much by the politics, but look at the attendance in churches. Look at the young people. How many young people are attending churches? Now, for most of us, when we were still at home, we didn't have a choice. You're going to church. When C.K. Smith, on a Sunday, asked you, are you ready to go? I didn't have to ask him, ready to go for what? I better be ready. And when I got there, I better behave. Because I know what would happen if it didn't. Okay, we're just about out of time. This may be filled here. Make that a little bigger for you. There. Okay. Maybe filled up here where we had maybe filled, see up there at the top right, maybe filled with knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. This is where I'm handling that phrase. Maybe filled. The passive voice means that we can't take credit for doctrine we learn apart from the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit in Operation Z. That already is taking place. And if we didn't have that, we would remain spiritually ignorant. You see, God takes up the slack for everything. Even like I was talking about praying, when we're taking in the Word, the Holy Spirit is right there. He's teaching us. He's filling us. He's making these technical, spiritual words, make them clear to us so that we can understand them. And then we start using those words. You see, a mature believer understands when you say sanctification, redemption, reconciliation, propitiation, all these words, he knows what they are. And he can think better. He knows more about the spiritual life, what God would want him to do, because he has a technical information. I mean, a vocabulary. What would you do if you heard that your doctor that was going to operate on you tomorrow, one of the patients said, well, I was walking back by the surgery, the operating room, and I heard him telling his nurse over there, give me that flat thing with the handle and it kind of looks like it's kind of curved here. He didn't know the name for it. Hand me one of those things over there. Would you want to go into surgery the next day? No, they have technical vocabulary. And that's true in anything in life. What if you had a mechanic and said, well, you got a problem. You say, what is it? Well, I don't know the name of it. It's those round things in the motor that go up and down. Would you take any stock in what he said? The subjunctive mood means that acquiring the knowledge of God's will is only a potential. Every believer can acquire spiritual knowledge, but not every believer will do it. It depends on their volition. Spiritual limitations are never placed on us by God. We place them on ourselves. If we're not filled with spiritual knowledge, it's our own fault. It's never God's fault. And don't blame it on anybody else either. If you want to get it, you'll get it. And if you want to get it, God will have it for you. That's why this church is here. Because people wanted to get Bible doctrine. Okay. Y'all ready for one question? I was going to give this to you, but we're really out of time. But I can't help it. I want to know if you know it. What are the two types of Christians? Two types. I'm not talking about good and bad. What do we study? Spiritual and carnal. That's the two types of believer. And right now, you're one of those. You're either spiritual or carnal. Can one Christian be more spiritual than another one? Now listen to me, listen. Can one believer be more spiritual than another? No! I'm not talking about growth. I'm talking about if you're spiritual, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can't be more spiritual than someone else because when you're, it's like being pregnant. I've never been pregnant, but I'm told if you can't be a little bit pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not pregnant. If you have the filling of the Holy Spirit, You have it. If you don't have, there's not degrees or measures of it. Y'all did good on the first one, not so good on that one.
Well, that first one kind of tripped
up. Well, I know that's why I'm doing it. Is it possible to be filled with the Holy Spirit without a great knowledge of the Word of God?
Yes.
Yeah. Baby believers can be filled with the Holy Spirit. All they have to know is, and that, by the way, that's what they ought to be taught. As soon as you witness to a believer, to an unbeliever, and they accept the gospel, you ought to get on the circles right away and let them understand how to access the power of the Holy Spirit. And so they'll start doing that. Y'all are doing that at the school, aren't you? I know because I saw they have these hula hoops. You remember the hula hoop? They have one for the top circle, one for the bottom circle. They're learning it already. And that's another reason why they're doing such a phenomenal job. Hopefully they'll go home to their parents and their parents say, what are you talking about, the circles? And they can tell their parents. Phenomenal. Okay, I'm past time. Let's close in prayer. Father, we're so thankful that we can nail down these very important ministries of the Holy Spirit. Not just so that we can say, oh, well, I can name all seven or I can name five of them or whatever. It's important for us to know it, but it's important for us to use them. Not only for our own self, but for others to see what they're missing when they are either unbelievers or they're believers who are not being taught properly. They don't know these things. And it's so important for us to use it because we are in the accelerated stage of the angelic conflict and we need all the assets we can have, all that we can get. Use them all. So we pray that we will D4 every day, part of D4 is daily, and that we will have that hunger that cannot be satisfied. We want more and more so that we can be good and faithful servants. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.